Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org. So we had lots of activities today, and so I'm going to tell you a couple Jesus stories, and so you guys can track with these. Okay, I'm confident. So we're gonna have you guys be with us today. We're glad that so many of you are here. Thanks for coming. If you came to hear the school choir, thanks for being here. Thanks guys for sharing with us. We love that. We're so glad that you guys are here. Yeah, and for your parents, thanks for this. This campus is buzzing with activity 6 days out of the week. Saturday gets a little bit of break sometimes, but Monday through Friday there's kids everywhere and learning happening and fun happening. And here we are on Sunday and we're learning and having fun too. Isn't that great? So when you see these words, "You're invited," on a card that comes in the mail, what goes through your mind? This is not a rhetorical question. This is a real question. So you can talk back to me. Okay. So. So when you get a card in the mail that says you're invited, what are the emotions that you go through? What are the things that you think?
Fun times ahead.
Fun times ahead.
Party.
Party. Of course, Lori. That's what you would think. I'm sorry, what?
Cake.
Any kind of cake. Good. What else? What else do you think?
Free food.
Free food. Okay. There's an honest taker right there. What else do you think about? Take it a little bit. What if that you're invited actually has your name on it? Okay, so sometimes we get we know some people that would say, "You're invited to vote for me." Okay, now that's semi-sincere, right? But what if that invitation actually has your name on it? What, how does that make you feel?
I better go.
Special. I better go. They know. There's a list. What was that?
Personalized.
It's personalized, yeah. It's something that is personal.
Included.
Yeah. Included, yeah. You're part of it. Yeah, that you're wanted. What I'd like to do today is talk about some invitations from Jesus. This is something that's stuck out to me. I've been reading in Revelation with in my life transformation group, and so there's some cool stuff there. We'll get to that. But before we get to Revelation, and Jesus says some things, he says some stuff in the Gospel of John. And so I wanted to just kind of pitch out for you a couple of Jesus stories where he actually invites people into his world. An invitation is a very, very special thing. It invites people into your world. When you send an invitation to a wedding, to your wedding, when we sat down and kind of penciled out, okay, here's the, 300 people that we want to be there. Those people are all special to me, and they were special to us, and they were family members, and they were friends. We do all kinds of inviting to other things, come over and watch the game, come over and we'll just hang out and play, all that kind of stuff. But when Jesus invites, what is he saying? What does he invite us into? And so I just wanted to touch on a few Jesus stories today, and I'm going to put these up here. This is in John chapter 1. You're certainly welcome to follow along in your Bible, but I stuck them up here on the screen for you, so it's easy. So you kiddos can know that it's right up there. So this is, if it's John chapter 1, how early in Jesus' life is it? Pretty early, right? So this is early in his ministry. So he's just getting started, and this is John the Baptist, was again standing with two of his disciples, and as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." So they're standing out here in the kind of wilderness. John the Baptist was having people come to him. He was teaching lots of people about things, and then Jesus comes walking along, and John the Baptist says, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." Now, when you call someone a lamb, is that a good thing? No, probably not. If you go, "Oh man, you're a lamb," or "you're a goat," or "you're a..." Right? In Bible times, though, that lamb thing meant something really, really special, didn't it? In the Old Testament, lambs were sacrificed. They were special. And so there's a lot of Old Testament teaching that kind of is leading up to this, and I'm not going to unpack all of that today. But when John the Baptist said, "Look, there's the Lamb of God," he was saying really something special about Jesus. And when John's disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. So they said, "Well, man, I'm going to follow him. That guy's from God." Jesus looked around and said, "What do you want?" Right? If you were walking along and then all of a sudden two creeper people started walking up behind you, Okay, so Jesus is a real person, right? He's not, you know. So he turns around and says, what do you guys want? And they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus gives this invitation. He says, come and see. He doesn't say, oh, I'm staying at the Hilton. He says, come and see. Come be with me. Jesus' invitation here is to come and be with him. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so this meant maybe free food, right? This maybe meant dinner. And when they went with him to the place where he was staying, they remained with him the rest of the day. So Jesus invited these two guys to come along to be a part of his world for the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Now, what happens when you get an invitation? Sometimes you can invite other people. Not always. So if I send you an invitation to a special time, that doesn't always mean you can pass the invite on to someone else, right? But in Jesus' world, in Jesus' economy, guess what? You can always invite the next person. Okay? So Jesus' invitation is not just for you. He invited strangers to come and hang with him and say, hey, you know, let's talk about life. They said, teacher, can we come and pick your brain for the evening? And Jesus said, come along and let's have a meal. And Andrew, who was there, went away and brought his brother and said, looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, which means Cephas. And so that, a couple of things there. You know, we just want you to know that Jesus' invitation is for everyone, even strangers. So maybe you're here today and this church thing hasn't been part of your experience. There's been songs here today that you didn't know. People said things about, man, the Lamb of God, and you didn't know what that means. That's okay. That's totally okay. You don't have to be familiar with all that stuff. Jesus' invitation is still, come follow me. Come get to know me. Come get to know me. In a few chapters, Jesus was at a festival in Jerusalem with his friends, and he made this invitation. He said, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up. So the festival is all about rejoicing in what God had done. Okay, in John chapter 7. And so they're rejoicing about what God had done in the history of the people of Israel. And Jesus stands up in the middle of that festival and he says with a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. He's not talking about, hey, come to the coffee stand where all the coffee is and get coffee. He's using a metaphor here. Do any of you guys get thirsty when you're running around at recess or PE? Do you ever get thirsty? Yeah, you get thirsty, right? You need a drink of water. When we're running around in life and we're trying to say, gosh, does this all add up? Does this really mean anything? We get thirsty, don't we? We're wondering, what does this mean? Why am I on this hamster wheel spinning and spinning and spinning and going and it seems like I'm not going anywhere? Jesus said, if any of you feel that way, if any of you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Jesus says, come. If you're thirsty, that's okay. Maybe you're a stranger. That's okay. You can come to Jesus. Maybe you're thirsty. You don't have it all together. You ain't got all the, you know, the wine cellar isn't all packed out for you. That's okay. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And Jesus says this, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So now you got what you got to know is when Jesus gives an invitation and you take him up on it, there's a lot. There's a lot there. So what does he say? Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. These people came parched, wanting a drop of water. And what does Jesus say? I better not go that much farther. What does Jesus say? He says, there's going to be a river coming out of you. When Jesus makes an invitation and he says, come to me, Jesus never shortchanges you. He never shortchanges you. He gives you way more than you got when you showed up. I want to go to one more story a little bit later in the Gospel of John. Now, in the story, Jesus says, has already gone to the cross. He's died on that cross. If you are not familiar with that story, Jesus was killed by the rulers and the religious leaders in Jerusalem because they thought he was claiming to be God and he wasn't. But Jesus really was God, and Jesus had to die. He died on the cross, and then 3 days later, he rose back to life. And there are a few people that had seen him, but not a whole lot of people. But his 11 closest followers, because one of them had taken care of himself. But his 11 close followers then were like, man, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And most of them were fishermen. And so one day, they're out fishing. They didn't know what to do when Jesus left. So they go back out in the boat, and they start fishing, because they got to make a living. They got to figure out what's the next thing in life. And so on this morning, on this, you know, early morning, they've been out fishing. And Jesus calls out to them and he says, friends, haven't you any fish? So these are professional fishermen, right? So they left their nets, you know, 3.5 years ago to follow Jesus. And now they're going back at it. They're going to try and be fishermen again. And they go out all night fishing and they catch nada. That's a bad day, huh? If you're supposed to go work and you get nothing done, that's a pretty bad day. If you catch no fish and you're supposed to be a fisherman, that's a bad day. So what does Jesus do? He invites them. He says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Now, if I'm a professional fisherman and some guy on the land says, oh, I've been fishing all night. Yeah, I haven't caught anything. Well, throw on that side. I'm going to be like biting my tongue so I don't say something I shouldn't say to them. And they did it. The disciples did it. They threw the boat. They threw the net on the other side of the boat. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said, to Peter, so that's John, that's code word for John. He said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, it is the Lord, he took his garment off and he jumped into the water. And he went and swam to the Lord. Now the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you just caught. The miracle that I just did for you, we're gonna cook that up. A couple of things about this story that are really fascinating to me. Jesus shows great hospitality. Remember earlier, the disciples, they're strangers. They came and they stayed with him and they shared a meal. In the middle of a festival, in the second story, festival, what do you do at a festival? You have good food, right? And you enjoy and you sing and you dance and all that sort of stuff. At that meal, there was in that festival, there was also food. And in this meal, Jesus is the one who started the fire. He cooked some bread, and now he's waiting for the fish. And those guys that had been up all night, he invited them to throw the net on the other side of the boat. They caught the fish. Not just one fish. What does it say? How many fish? Can you see there up there? How many fish did they catch? 153. Do you think that was enough for breakfast? Do you think that was enough for breakfast? Speaking of fish at breakfast, you saw that Jason had the Jesus Loves Sushi shirt on. That's because that ministry, those guys are in Japan, and Pastor Phil is having sushi for breakfast. He's having fish for breakfast in Japan because that's something that they do. They're an island place. But that Jesus Loves Sushi ministry, we're trying to figure out how we can partner with them. Anyway, that's a digression. But fish for breakfast is something people do in the world. Now, you typically don't do that. You pop a bagel or cereal or whatever. But fish for breakfast was something that they did. Jesus says to them, come have breakfast. Come eat with me. You haven't seen me. I died on the cross. I rose again. You've been scared by those who might persecute you, but I want you to come to me. Jesus, as he invites us into his world. He invites us to be with him. And now, we sang earlier this morning about, you know, God, we want to see you. When Jesus came to the planet, we did see God in the flesh. That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. If you want to know what God's like, you have to look at Jesus. And so what Jesus is like and what he invites us into is an amazing thing. When I was growing up, I did have the privilege of being a part of a church family. And one of the pictures on one of the walls in the church was like that. Has anybody seen that before? It's a picture of Jesus knocking at the door. Now, we don't often think of this as an invitation, but this was a passage I was reading this week. And this picture kind of came back to my mind. Now, I don't know if I would let that guy in because he looks a little goofy. Okay, but Jesus lets strangers in. I don't know how Middle Eastern he really looks, and you know, I don't want you to necessarily critique the art necessarily, but I do want you to think about this. This is what Jesus says to us in Revelation chapter 3. He says this to the church. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Now, what if I could tell you that today, this week, you would have an appointment with the Queen of England? You'd be like, that's pretty cool. I don't know what your, you know, persuasion is about the governor of our state or the president of the United States or whatever. But if one of those folks called you up on the phone and said, hey, I want to have dinner with you this week, you would probably figure out how to clear the calendar a little bit to make sure that you had time for them to come and be with you. Well, what Jesus says, as the God of the universe, the one who created it all, who came and lived a perfect life, who died on the cross, rose again, he stands and is inviting. He wants in. He wants you. You know how many hairs are on the top of your head? You don't know, do you? I don't. Mine are a lot less than they were. But I don't know either. But Jesus does, right? Doesn't the Bible say that? That he knows the very numbers. Does he know your name?
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus has a special invitation for you. He knows your name. He gave you your fingerprint. He knows everything about you. And Jesus wants to be with you. Now your life, you may be like, oh, I'm such a wreck. Jesus doesn't want me. I did something bad. He stands at the door and knocks. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. That is some invitation. That is some invitation. If you go back to this picture, one of the things that is unique about it is that there's not a door handle on the outside. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to force his way in. Jesus is standing at the door and is saying, hey, I want to know you. I want to know all of you. I want to jump then to the end of the book of Revelation. This is an amazing scene. So the Apostle John is having this vision and he's seeing the future. And this is just amazing. So I'll just read this. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water, like loud peals of thunder shouting." So this is not just the waves are making noise. This is actually people, a mass of people in heaven yelling in the favor of God. Have you ever been in a stadium or a gymnasium when the basketball score is really, it's really tight, or a football stadium and it's just loud? That's what it's like. "Hallelujah," the crowd is shouting, "for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come." There's that Lamb thing again. "And his bride," that's us, his church, "has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear." What Jesus gives to the church, what he gives to each one of us that become his followers, he gives us this white clothes to wear. He doesn't see the mess that we bring to Jesus. He actually cleans us and brings us white as snow to what? To a wedding feast. "Then the angel said to me, write this, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And these are the true words of God." There is an invitation. Jesus is not only knocking on the door of your heart saying, guess what? I want to know you and I want you to know me. He's actually waiting to put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life if you'll follow him. And then after he does that, he puts your name on an invitation and invites you to a wedding feast that he has with his beloved family. That's what Jesus is inviting you to. I know in the day-to-day, it gets really, really hard to think about, oh, I just got to get up and get to class today. Oh, I got to get up and do work today. I got to get up and do this thing or that thing. And that can overwhelm us. But you got to know that Jesus' invitation is for you to be with him in all of that. In the day-to-day, in the work, in your schoolwork, in the errands. Jesus wants to be with you. At the end of Revelation, another invitation. Come. Jesus says, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty, there's that thirsty thing again. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. That water of life, when you come thirsty, and yet God, Jesus, when you follow him, he gives you a full river running out of your life. Come. That's Jesus' invitation to you today. And then he says one more thing as he closes out the whole of the Bible story. He says, he who testifies to these things, yes, I am coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. When you read the news, when you see what's going on in the world, it's not getting any better. Jesus is coming back, and he wants us to know him. His invitation is for you to know him. And his invitation is for us also to help others know him. That's what always happens, is that when someone follows Jesus, then we get to help others follow him. Jesus gave his last words. I'm going to kind of go back in the story now and put it right in Jesus' time. When he is with his followers, he comes and appears to them kind of one last time and gives what we often call the Great Commission. And I want to show you a little video. And this is, I'm going a little risky here because this is an older video. We live in the shadows of Hollywood. And so you guys are going to try and be tempted to critique the cinematography and the acting and whether this Jesus really looks like the real Jesus and all that sort of stuff. So I just put that out there right now to say, hey, we're not going to argue about that, okay? But what I want you to get is how much Jesus invites. He's going to tell a little story, and then Jesus is going to do something, and I want you to track with this. I'm hoping that the audio works on this, because I'll let this play. Corey, can you check that? Would you bow your heads with me and pray? Jesus, you invite us to come to you. You're the perfect one. Our lives are a mess, and yet you flip your hand out to us and you say, come be with me. You're knocking on the door of our heart today. Today, maybe if you're here today and you've never decided to follow Jesus, you want to do that. I want to invite you to. He's worth following. He's the great king who loves people. He loves murderers and adulterers and sinners and good people and bad people and Apaches and North Americans and Europeans and Japanese. He created them all and he loves them all. He loves you and he knows your name and he knows the very number of the hairs on your head. Today, if you've not followed him and you want to, you can say, yes, Jesus, I will come to you. I will follow you. If you want to talk about that or you want to just in your own heart right now make that decision, I invite you to do that. If you want to let me know that, you can just put your hand up real quick and let me know. Be glad to talk with you afterwards or come see me. If maybe today you're someone who has felt far from Jesus, like, I don't think he really cares. You know, he did all that stuff back 2,000 years ago, but he didn't give a rip about sitting with me right now. I invite you to open the door to your heart and allow him to come back in. He's knocking. He wants to be back in. Jesus, we thank you that you say, come. We thank you that your invitation to us is not go get a shower and then come see me. It's always just come, whether we're a stranger, whether we're ones who are close to you, whether we're ones who know all the right words to use or not. Jesus, you want us to come to you. And today, in our hearts, we come. We take this time and we say, yeah, Jesus, I want to follow you. And God, help us to be good inviters of others as well to the stuff that we're doing in our life. Help us to look like Jesus in a way that we invite others along with us too. Thank you for the invitations, Jesus, that you give us. We love you so much. And as we close in worship, we honor you. In your name we pray. Amen.